worship this morning is taken from John chapter 1, verses 32 to 34. Then John gave this testimony: I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down as a dove and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one. Good morning and welcome to our service here at Newport-on-Tay Church of Scotland. To any visitors, to our online Zoom users, and to anyone viewing this service later in the week via the internet, we extend a very, very warm welcome to you all. It is good to have you worshipping with us. And we trust that you will find true kinship and fellowship in our midst this morning. For those of you in church, can I encourage you to join us for a tea or coffee after the service through the link corridor? The intimations are as printed in the order of service. However, I have one particularly sad notice to bring to your attention. Many of you may already be aware that Leslie Balfour, one of our church members, and her husband David were both killed as a result of a motorcycle accident which took place last Monday on the A914 between Balmullow and Dairsey. As has become our tradition, can we please stand to acknowledge and silently reflect on all that Leslie meant to our congregation, a willing helper within our after-service refreshment team and supporter of church and other community events. And we remember David for his friendly, supportive nature and practical assistance provided to both our church and Mana. Can we please, if you're able, stand? O Lord God, we come to you at this time of great shock and grief, and ask that in your loving grace, you will comfort all who are mourning such sudden and unexpected deaths. We pray particularly for Jane, Graham, William and Catherine Johnston, who, having celebrated the news of a newly born daughter, granddaughter and a niece only days before, now have to deal with the heartbreaking loss of a sister, brother-in-law, aunt, and uncle. God, our strength and our Redeemer, you do not leave us in this life, nor abandon us in death. Hear our prayer for those who mourn, and renew in us all your sustaining strength. For we know that there is nothing in all creation that can separate us from your love. Through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. In a further moment of silence, let us prepare ourselves for worship. May the peace which passes all understanding, which has its source within the very nature of the Father, Son, and Spirit, be with us all as we gather to still our souls and join our hearts together in unity as one. May the gentle whisper of the God of peace speak to us through our worship and fellowship this morning. And may it remain the message of our lives as we leave this place to share with others in our community throughout the coming week, strengthening Christ's kingdom here on earth. Amen. So let us now join together in worship as we sing our first hymn from CH4, hymn number 462, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. Let us pray. Hear, Lord, safe with you, in the stillness and sanctity of your presence, we rest in your peace. Help us to make sense of the many experiences, feelings, and emotions we have encountered throughout this past week. Forgive us for the times when we have not heeded and responded to the pleas of others, for the times when we have placed the needs of ourselves before your service, for the times when we have not followed your perfect sacrificial example. Allow us now to rest in your presence and be still. Help us to surrender all that we are to you, our failings, our concerns, our hopes, and our fears, in the knowledge that you alone can restore the penitent heart, re-energize the weary body, and redeem us from our sins. Through your loving Son, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. When I submitted my hymn selection, the great oracle, the great keeper of hymns, that is Philip, commented that we'd only actually sung this particular hymn and one of the later hymns on one occasion since 2009. He then continued to point out that on that single occasion each hymn was sung, I was leading the service. So it's a case of dusting down our vocal cords, dusting down the hymn books, and singing our next hymn from CH4, number 119, O God, Thou Art the Father.
Thank you.
thank you, a very creditable result. And we look forward to singing it sometime in the distant future. Children, would you like to join me down the front? Well, good morning. Oh, I'll take a seat just like yourselves. How are you all? Good. How was the first week being back at school? Good. What was so good about it? You learnt so much. Ooh. What about the others? Did you enjoy your first week back? Yes. It was good to get back, isn't it? Holidays can be so boring. Now tell me, did you learn any big words this week at school? Which one? Discombobulated. That's pretty good. No one went to for their holidays. Okay, well, I want you to help me this morning because I've got a big word up on the screen. Can anyone say what that word actually is? Yes? Ornithologist. Very good. Now, it's an ologist, so it must be someone who studies. Because geologists, they study rocks. Archaeologists, they study history and past civilizations. What do you think an ornithologist would study? Birds. Excellent. I had a little clue here beside me, but I didn't need it. You knew all about it. So, do you think you're good ornithologists? Yeah, okay. Somewhere in the middle. Let's test you. Let's see if we can recognize some of my feathered friends. What is this one? Yes? A robin. Excellent. Now then, what's our next bird? Bit of a clue in the colour. Yes?
Blackbird.
A blackbird. Excellent. Well done. And can we move on to our third bird? Lovely singer with a speckled breast. And I've given you a little clue with the letter T. It starts with the letter T. Sometimes they put the word song in front of the letter T. Yes? A thrush, a song thrush. Excellent. Well done. What about the next one? Oh, rather handsome fellow. Yes?
Kingfisher.
A kingfisher, indeed. To give you a clue, I was going to put a crown on his head and give him a fishing rod, but you're too smart. And what about this next one? Yes? An eagle, a golden eagle. It is one of the biggest birds, indeed. What is it eating? Well, it's eating something that had been left for it. It was actually part of a deer. This was part of a trial that my youngest son, who is a wildlife ranger in Argyll, was involved in with the University of Edinburgh. And they asked him to put out some carcasses to attract the eagles. Okay, can we look at our next bird? Now, what is this? Yes? A dove. Indeed, a dove. What do you know about doves? Are they fierce? No? Yes? A lot of people say that the dove is a Holy Spirit. Yes. The Holy Spirit is often likened to a dove, a flame, a rush of wind. There are different forms. But yes. Now, what I'm going to ask you to do is, now you know what a dove looks like, I'm going to give you 2 minutes, and I want you to find as many doves within the fabric of the church, on the windows, on the banners, that you can possibly see in 2 minutes. So your time starts now. Get up, have a look. Cold, cold, cold. Oh, it's hot on that side. Maybe something's obscuring your view. You may have to go closer. Okay, you found two. Anyone find more than two? Yes. Four? Excellent. Four. We reckon there are four. Okay, let's sit down again and we'll do a little check. I'll ask Philip to show the next slide. And there we are. There are five doves. We've got three on the banners, one immediately above our head, and there is another on that stained glass window right at the top. A teeny weeny thing, yes. So five doves. Well done. You got four. That's pretty good. And can I have our next slide, please? So we've already talked a little about this. If we were going to compare the two birds, contrast their characteristics, which would you say is the fiercest? Yes. The eagle. And why is that? Excellent.
They just hunt with their beak.
Okay. So, which of the two would you say would be the easiest to handle, the gentlest? Yes. The dove. And it would eat less than an eagle.
An eagle is much more aggressive.
The eagle is much more aggressive. I like that comment very, very much. You see, doves were seen as innocent, virtuous creatures. And because of this, they were often used as sacrifices. And the law of the Lord asked that Mary and Joseph take baby Jesus to the temple, and there they would sacrifice two doves to give thanks to God for the safe arrival of their baby. Now that was in those days. Okay, pretty barbaric it may seem, but that's what they did. We know that that baby Jesus grew up and spread the gospel, the good news. He assigned his disciples to do likewise. But unfortunately, he fell under the wrath of the Roman government. They did not like him. And it's interesting because the emblem of the Roman government is an eagle. So yes, the eagle here was seen to have slain, in effect, the dove. But we know that Christ did not die. He rose again on the third day into glory. And his disciples continued to spread the good news. And the good news was that we shouldn't be aggressive. We shouldn't be hurtful towards others. But we should live like the dove in a community of peace, of friendship, of supporting one another. And that is indeed what we as Christians are expected to do. And as you say, the dove is a symbol of the Holy Spirit that came down on Jesus and came down into our hearts to guide us and direct us. That's why everyone in church this morning would have received a small origami dove. Now, that is to remind you of God's unconditional and unfailing love. And there are many more at the back and front of the church. If you didn't collect one, or if you would like to take someone, a dove, a friend, a colleague, someone who is hurting at the moment, then take it to them and gift it to them in the reassurance that God is unfailing in his love. But they are not alone. So, That's the end of the talk, the end of the big words. But I'm glad you had a good week at school, and I hope you have a good second week. We're now going to sing a hymn, the children's hymn, and a word of warning. We are essentially a Presbyterian congregation, but I'm going to allow you to clap. Yes, clap. I know it's pushing the boundaries, but it's a fundamental part of this piece. So we are now going to sing from Junior Praise, I Have Seen the Golden Sunshine. Junior Praise 99. Children would just like to take a seat for a moment.
A chore to give here today. As you know, last week was the summer club, and I won't even begin to try to say what it was called because it's too complicated. I'm sure this young lady could say it very well. Anyway, because we were all so busy and there was so much going on, the person who really we couldn't have done without, many of us could share in talents and things, but one person we could not share in her talent. So blessed we are to have this lovely Claire just to come and receive this little token of our appreciation.
Gosh, clapping twice in a day, we'll be getting a name for ourselves. As this is the first week of our Sunday Club and Youth Seekers for the autumn session, let us therefore commend the boys, girls, youth members and their leaders to God in prayer. And can I ask that the children and all those involved in teaching our youth and our Sunday Club children stand as well, please. Let us pray. In Proverbs 22, verse 6, you said, teach children how they should live, and they will remember it all their lives. We therefore pray that you will bless our Sunday school children and our youth membership as they recommence their classes this morning. Nourish them through your word. Protect them and encourage them to grow in their personal faith and witness to you. Bless Chris, our youth leader and Sunday school coordinator, and all those who resolutely prepare and lovingly deliver the lessons each week. We ask this in the name of the ultimate teacher, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now you can go to your classes.
I'm Let us listen for the word of God. Our reading is from the Old Testament, from the first book of Kings, chapter 19, verses 1 to 14. Elijah flees to Horeb. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. He came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank, and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled for 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." That ends our lesson. Thanks be to God. We continue our worship in singing hymn number 450, "Christ is the World's Redeemer."
Amen. So let it be. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth, the thoughts of our minds, and the meditation of our hearts be worthy unto you, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. The majority of our hymns sung so far this morning are attributed in one way or another to Saint Columba. The King of Love, My Shepherd Is, was sung to a traditional Irish tune entitled Saint Columba. The words of O God, Thou art the Father, and Christ is the world's Redeemer, you see there was a reason behind my selection, were translated by the late ordained 19th century minister and Gaelic scholar Duncan MacGregor from the original text of Saint Columba. And as many of you will know, St. Columba's Gaelic name, Colum Ciel, means church dove. And it is our own church dove in the stained glass window above our heads that has actually been the inspiration for today's reflection. In the Bible, dove sightings generally indicate the beginning or the end of a significant world or life-changing event. The very first indirect or inferred mention of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The Babylonian Talmud, the primary source of Jewish religious law, the Halakha, and associated theology, in essence, the very root of our Old Testament scriptures, likens the hovering of the Spirit of God over the waters during the creation of the earth to that of a dove. In the story of the flood in Genesis chapter 8, after the ark had landed on the mountains of Ararat, Noah sent a dove out three times to see how far the waters had receded. The first time it found nothing and returned to the ark. The second time it brought back an olive leaf so Noah could see that God's punishment was over and that life had begun again on the earth. The third time the dove did not return, and Noah knew that it was therefore safe to leave the ark. But perhaps the appearance of greatest significance from a Christian perspective was expressed in the opening call to worship from John chapter 1, verses 32 to 34. The very first witnessing of the Holy Spirit by John the Baptist. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. In addition to these specific events, doves were known in the New Testament as innocent, virtuous creatures. For example, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, it records Jesus saying to his disciples, "Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be as wise as serpents and innocent as doves." Because of this perceived innocent and virtuous trait, doves were also used as sacrifices in the tabernacle and the temple. Joseph and Mary offered just such a sacrifice following the birth of Jesus. The account in Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 24 record, when the time of purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. This is Jesus, the consecrated child and gentle Saviour, the one who would ultimately bring peace and atonement to all humankind through his own death on the cross, just like the sacrificial dove. This is why you have this morning all received an origami dove. Or if you haven't, then there is the opportunity to pick one up at the front or back of the church. It's a reminder of God's purity and Christ's sacrifice, how God always fulfills his promises through the work of the Holy Spirit working within us. The lithograph on the screen by Picasso, La Colombe, shows a dove with an olive beak, sort of branch in its beak. And this was chosen in 1949 for the World Peace Congress in Paris. And this non-combative creature remains an emblem of peace in our modern world. And it is this non-combative trait that I would like to focus on in today's message. Unlike the ferocious eagle or the warrior-like hawk, the dove is characterized by its quietness and gentleness. It moves quietly, flies seemingly effortlessly, and makes no attempt to draw attention to itself or indeed its nest. The Song of Solomon records, "O my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the secret place of the steep pathway, let me see your form, let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your form is lovely." Even today, in the Holy Land, it avoids the noise and distraction of settlements by seeking a quiet, hidden place in the trees and cliffs along the riverbank to build her nest. Similarly, the Holy Dove or Holy Spirit shrinks from the noisy, tumultuous, excited, and vindictive spirit and instead finds a home in the lowly breast of a meek, peaceful, and gentle soul. The Holy Dove or Holy Spirit shrinks from the noisy, tumultuous, excited, and vindictive spirit and finds a home in the lowly breast of a meek, peaceful, and gentle soul. As we sang in our earlier hymn, "Thou to the meek and lowly thy secrets doth unfold." The heart in which the Holy Spirit dwells will always be characterized by meekness, lowliness, quietness, forbearance, and above all, gentleness. The rude, sarcastic response, the brusque manner, the cruel retort, the unkind gesture, all of these belong to the flesh and have nothing in common with the indwelling Spirit of God. In Romans 8, verse 9, we are unequivocally reminded, "You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, if anyone does not have the Spirit of God, they do not belong to Christ." If we therefore belong to Christ, then our witness and our very lifestyle must always be characterized by meekness, lowliness, quietness, forbearance, and above all, gentleness. Remember, gentleness is one of the fruits of the Spirit. In Galatians 5, verse 22, But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. One fundamental part of gentleness is the need to still ourselves, to listen obediently and accept God's judgment regarding any situation, even if that judgment results in an initial degree of personal hardship. It therefore demonstrates humility shown towards our merciful and gracious God. And when we submit to God, we will also be kind, gentle, and patient with others. A great many people, however, some Christians included, look upon gentleness as a kind of weakness. They seem to think the power of God should incite them to be bold and engage in loud, boisterous, and energetic witness, more like an eagle than a dove. And yes, we hear of wars and battles in the Old Testament, armies squaring up to one another, and the inevitable chaos and bloodshed. But Christ, through his teachings, has taught us an altogether less hostile and more considered approach to tackle the issues and injustices of this world through penitence, prayer, and the gentle prompting of the Holy Spirit. The still small voice of God, heard in the midst of all the noise and clamour of our modern day world, often overlooked, but persistent, we are gently drawn to listen and take heed. In our Bible reading this morning, brought to us by Fraser, we encounter God's dealings with Elijah, the old rugged prophet of the wilderness. To put our reading into context, when Queen Jezebel heard that Elijah had killed all her prophets, she threatened to do the same with him. Elijah, therefore, fled south through the barren regions of Judah, where, overcome with despair, he wanted only to die. But God sustained him, enabling him to keep moving south till he reached Horeb, or Mount Sinai, the place where God had made his covenant with Israel. Elijah doubted whether the covenant had any more real meaning for Israel. The people continuously rebelled against its commands. So in our reading, we find Elijah hiding on a mountain crag at the entrance to a cave, discouraged and confused, waiting for God's message. God began to speak through the voice of nature. First came the earthquake, with its heavings tearing nature asunder. But the prophet of fire looked upon the scene, unmoved and untouched. Then came the sweeping tornado, roaring and tearing rocks from the mountainside and hurling them down into the valley below. But there was nothing in that to subdue his fiery spirit or heal his broken heart. Next came the fire. Perhaps it was an electrical storm with its forked tongues of lightning playing upon the great forest with the roar of thunder like 10,000 storms. But even this did not move the man of God. We are told that after this, there came a still, small voice, or gentle whisper. Or as one biblical commentator has expressed it, a sound of gentle stillness, gentler than music's tenderest note. It broke his whole spirit into gentleness and awe. Gathering his mantle about him, he crept into the cave and fell upon his face at the feet of God to listen to the message. The fiery heart was at length subdued. The mighty will was broken. And the stern prophet was as a child. The eagle, now subdued, had become as a dove. God had showed Elijah that although loud, violent, and spectacular events had some use, there would be lasting benefits if people listened to God's still, small voice, prompting within their hearts, and responded accordingly. Not by might, nor by power, but by spirit, says the Lord Almighty in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. What the fiery tempest and the heaving earthquake could not do, the voice of gentleness had achieved. The still, small voice of God had, in effect, been there all the time. It was just that Elijah had been unable to hear it. For the voice was not coming from the outside, it was coming from the inside. It was not an external calling, it was an internal prompting. As the external commotion and the noises faded, Elijah was able to concentrate on the internal noises. When they faded completely, he heard God's voice and resultantly obeyed his will. God often breaks the hardest hearts and the strongest wills by a touch of gentleness that is softer than a mother's hand or the feathers of a dove. Sometimes God is heard unexpectedly in the soft and subtle sounds of life as we are gently drawn to listen. Maybe we need to turn down the volume of everything else that is going on in our lives and learn to be quiet, calm, and willing to heed his call. Yes, we need to turn down the volume of everything else that is going on in our lives and learn to be quiet, calm, and willing to heed his call. Sadly, all too often our experience are as captured in the hymn, The Still Small Voice by Thomas Chisholm. I heard a voice, a still small voice, when life was new and skies were bright. It spoke to me of destiny, of duty, and of right. Then other voices filled my ear and charmed my soul away. Alas, for me, I failed to heed God's gentle voice that day. Alas, for me, I failed to heed God's gentle voice that day. Have we failed to heed God's gentle voice today? In the last few days, the past week, in our lives? Have we failed in our witness to the glory of his name and the fulfillment of his kingdom here on earth? There can be no excuse. We must not ignore but recognize this still small voice of gentleness within us and act accordingly as the Holy Spirit directs and encourages us to do God's will. Let us therefore resolve to live as a community of gentle, peaceful doves, led by our faith, prompted by the Spirit, responding lovingly towards one another, and less like the spontaneous and aggressive eagle led by the world, quick to anger and strike cruelly. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. As the choir sang in our introit, may the Spirit of the living God fall afresh on each one of us. And may the dove of Christ find a welcome home in our own meek, peaceful, and gentle souls this day. And may we be ever alert and responsive to the prompting of the still, small voice of God. Amen. Let us take a moment or two to reflect on today's message to us all. Now, let us sing from CH4, hymn number 600, Spirit of God, Unseen as the Wind. Let us bring before God our prayer of thanksgiving and intercession. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your enduring faithfulness, that you are an abundant God, and out of your great mercy you have given us so much. We submit this, our offering, to you today. With it we worship you and offer our whole selves in service to you. Use them both to grow your kingdom here in Newport and elsewhere around the world, bearing witness to your never-ending glory. Amen. We bring before God our prayer of intercession. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we bring before you our concerns for ourselves, your church, and the world in which we live. Lord, you are already aware of our unique personal burdens in life, those things which we cannot or will not resolve or release. Help us now to submit them to you, that we may become more able to freely walk the personal pathway you would have us follow. We pray for relationships within families, within this congregation, and in the wider community. May we forever be supportive of one another, sharing burdens and responsibilities, lightening the load for each other on life's often tortuous journey. May our trust in you never waver, Lord, and our faith to follow you never falter. We pray for your church, its unity and survival in an increasingly secular world. We pray for our minister and our cluster as we learn to share diminishing resources and worship together. May differences in worship style and practices be acknowledged and accepted, and may the love of Jesus Christ be the bond that brings us together in unity of purpose and witness. We pray that your example and guidance may not be ridiculed and cast out of our school curriculum, but become once again the foundation stone of a well-established plan for life in all its fullness. We pray for our brothers and sisters, challenged and persecuted for worshipping you. O Lord, guard and defend them. Enlighten their persecutors and bring about tolerance and a freedom to worship wherever in the world they may be. We pray for your created world and the diversity of both habitat and inhabitant, where difference or culture, belief or skin colour promotes suspicion and leads to division and hostility. We pray for peace and unity throughout the world. In ongoing areas of conflict, let there be resolution and a long-standing peace. Where natural disasters have struck and people have been displaced, let there be continued global support to rebuild homes, relationships, and livelihoods, providing a secure and sustainable future for all refugees. Comfort all those affected by the wildfires in Maui, Hawaii, California, Canada, Greece, and Portugal, along with those devastated by the floods in the USA, China, India, Slovenia, and Spain. We pray for our planet, Lord, where we have failed in our duty as custodians to watch over it, causing industrial pollution, forest burning, the dumping of plastic and toxic waste, to turn the land, air, and sea into hostile environments for the animals, birds, and fishes you provided to share the earth with us. We pray that governments throughout the world may heed the concerns of our earth scientists by promoting policies and practices to arrest the causes of climate change and reduce the effects of global warming. Heavenly Father, we give thanks and rejoice in the safe arrival of new births, sons, daughters, brothers, sisters, grandsons and granddaughters, nieces and nephews. Bless them all and support new parents as they adjust to a life of additional demands in terms of both time and love. We also bring before you all those who are afflicted by physical, emotional, or mental illness at this time. Comfort them and strengthen and support all who care for them. We thank you for the dedication and the skills of our medical teams, our doctors, surgeons, anaesthetists, nurses and care staff who deliver the very best of health care, emulating your loving and healing hand. We pray that through the lonely times and in their pain, all in anguish will keep their eyes fixed on you, and you will watch over them and give them the courage they need to endure the suffering and discomfort, ultimately leading them through to a full recovery and rehabilitation. Lord, we pray that you are able to provide solace and inspiration for those who feel detached from you at the moment, those who feel you may not be present in their daily lives, or find it difficult to turn their thoughts towards you. We pray that they are able once again to experience your ever-present and glorifying nature and realize that you had never really left them, but were always there, waiting. Lord, in the stillness of our hearts, we bring before you those known to us in need of your healing and compassionate hand. Holy God, who reigns on high, surrounded by those who have served you faithfully across the generations, please welcome into your eternal presence all those who have passed away recently, and help us to draw on the stories of their witness to inspire our own witness and journey of faith. Lord, at this time of bereavement, enfold Fiona and members of the Cram family with your love and compassion. Comfort and console Ron Caird, Cheryl and Gavin in their recent sad loss. Support Jane, Graham, William and Catherine as they come to terms with the tragic accident which took the lives of loved ones held so dear. And grant your loving peace and solace on the family of Hetty Varty, whose funeral service takes place in this church tomorrow. Heavenly Father, comfort those who are approaching the end of their days on earth. Bless them and reassure them of the peace and glory that awaits them in your eternal heavenly kingdom. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. We close with a wonderful hymn written by Katrina von Schlegel, translated by Scotswoman Jane Borthwick, and set to the magnificent music of Finlandia by Sibelius. CH4, hymn number 691, Be Still My Soul, the Lord is on your side. Thank you to Hannah and the choir for leading us through some rather strange pieces to many this morning. Our benediction. Still small voice of calm, speak to us this day and throughout the week ahead. Still us and quieten us to listen and to heed your word. And may the Lord bless us and keep us. May the Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious to us. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon us and grant us his peace.